History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The top stories from the KCBS Radio Newsroom. This is the All Local.
This is National Preparedness Month, and the American Red Cross is urging everyone to be ready for all kinds of disasters. KCBS's Atta Shaheen with more.
You don't have to take extreme measures to be ready for extreme circumstances.
I don't want anyone to get overwhelmed about making a kit and staying prepared. It's real simple. You probably have most of those things in your house.
Red Cross local preparedness lead Lisa Platts said she keeps a shelf of non-perishables and spare water.
That's a home kit. You can also do a go kit, which is a backpack.
Same thing. Food, water, plus hygiene items, cash with small bills, flashlight, and a radio to stay in touch with first responders.
You can't grab anything. In a house fire, you have less than 2 minutes. So if your go bag is right by the door with all those things, you don't even have to think. You just have to get out.
Beyond the kit, she said, make an escape plan. That is, think of two places you and your family can be safe if you have to evacuate. And finally, stay informed.
The best call to action for everyone is to go to redcross.org/prepare.
In San Francisco, Atta Shaheen, KCBS.
25 years ago this week, our nation faced an unprecedented attack that claimed nearly 3,000 innocent lives. What happened on September 11th, 2001, transformed both airports and commercial flying. In this KCBS special report, Margie Schaefer at SFO takes a look at the ever-evolving post-9/11 air travel experience.
In the aftermath of the attacks, planes were grounded for 3 days, leading to a backlog of stranded passengers, misplaced aircraft, and halted cargo.
Switch has never been flipped off and turned back on quite like that, so it was definitely something unprecedented in our industry.
That is SFO Airport spokesperson Doug Yackel. Flights resumed with a new set of rules. Major changes included mandatory ID and boarding passes, no more gate goodbyes, with an enormous undertaking for airports, advanced screening.
Prior to 9/11, checked baggage was not being screened on a regular basis.
San Francisco International Airport became the first major airport in the U.S. to complete that 100% screening process. The events of 9/11 led to the creation of the Transportation Security Administration. Then Police Chief of San Francisco Fred Lau would pivot careers to head up the TSA first in Oakland and then in San Francisco.
They might not always be happy when they're going through security screening, but they're going to be safe. Very often around the nation, our best catches are initiated by the officers' experience, training, and the sixth sense.
There are now advanced X-ray units, TSA pre-check, explosive trace detection, automated screening lanes, and bottled liquid screeners.
Still have a long list of prohibited items that cannot be taken in your carry-ons. Remember, 9/11, the bulk of the crimes were committed by box cutters.
9/11 led to a change in airport design. Amenities once more plentiful pre-security, like shops and restaurants, were moved post-security. The traveling public proved more interested in amenities with security in the rearview mirror.
When we renovated Terminal 2, one of the big things that we launched was what we called the Recompose area immediately after the security checkpoint, a place to kind of gather yourself, put your belt back on.
There are threats every day.
The adversaries have full time to practice. You know, we have to do our jobs every day. All they have to do is be successful once.
But Lau stresses air travel is absolutely safer now than prior to 9/11.
We have to listen. We have to watch. And it helps when the public is just as aware of the potentials. If they see something, say something.
The challenge is to stay ahead of threats while keeping travel moving, something that has continued for 25 years since 9/11. At SFO, Margie Schaefer, KCBS.
Today is expected to be the hottest day of the week, temperatures surging over 100 degrees in many cities in the East Bay. KCBS's Matt Bigler reports from Walnut Creek.
Walnut Creek will likely reach 100 degrees today as sizzling temperatures settle over most of the East Bay. But the South Bay and West Bay are also in for a heat spike.
San Jose, we expect 96 today. Downtown San Francisco, 85 yesterday, expecting 88 today.
Meteorologist Dylan Flynn with the National Weather Service says they've issued a heat advisory for the entire Bay Area. Days like this are uncomfortable, even dangerous, for folks who don't have AC like Ari.
Sometimes we go to Sun Valley, the shopping center up in Pleasant Hill, because it's air-conditioned, or we find a park that has nice trees.
The good news is the marine layer is expected to return by Friday, bringing temperatures back down to normal. Until then, keep an eye out for heat exhaustion, which can set in quickly, especially for seniors and outdoor workers. In Walnut Creek, Matt Bigler, KCBS.
A months-long civil trial could be nearing an end as the jury in the case against former Windsor Mayor Dominic Fapoli is closing in on a verdict. KCBS's Mike DeWald reports from outside civil court in Santa Rosa.
It's a verdict that at this point is years in the making. Attorney Tracy Carrillo represents these seven women bringing the claims against former Windsor Mayor Dominic Fapoli. She believes the dozens of witnesses and weeks of testimony built a strong case.
I'm hopeful that they will see it the way we presented it, that it's corroborated, it's true.
Now, Fapoli contends that evidence doesn't back the claims and that he's done nothing wrong.
They want to get paid either by an insurance company or by us. They've been very clear since for years now. Just write us a check and it'll go away.
There was a slowdown over a specific jury instruction over one of the claims that also involves the Active 2030 Club. That now resolved. Legal analyst Stephen Clark says this case could go either way, but a long deliberation tends to favor the plaintiffs.
What I think complicated the case was the fact that there was no criminal prosecution of these claims, and that this is a very close call.
In Santa Rosa, Mike DeWald, KCBS.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
There is some stunningly good news coming out of an Oakland hospital where a young woman who nearly died after being hit in a crosswalk by two children on a joyride is now walking and talking. We get the update from KCBS's Holly Kwan in Oakland.
She's using a walker and there are still memory gaps, but Kiara Bowling is moving around thanks to 6 hours of occupational therapy a day. She's learning to feed herself again. What she knows about the two little boys who took their parents' car keys and went on a joyride is based on what other people have told her. Her Aunt Karen telling KCBS.
Remember, she has memory loss. Let's just hope that it comes back. I don't know if it will, and I don't think they know if it will. It just all depends on Kiara. So she's not having any television because that's too busy. She's not having any phone time because that's too busy. They just want her to truly concentrate.
At this rate, she could leave the hospital by early December, but doctors say it'll take 2 years for her to fully recover. She was heading into her last semester at Cal State East Bay with plans to go to law school, something she says she still wants to do. In Oakland, Holly Kwan, KCBS.
Another East Bay pro sports team has brought home a championship trophy.
Oakland sports fans love winners, and we're really excited to be able to say that we're winners.
Winners of the Ultimate Frisbee Championship in Wisconsin, says co-captain Robin Vickers-Batsdorf, who's also the team's general manager. He's seen the sport explode in popularity.
There is such a large community of fans, a bunch of young kids who come out to our games, who ask us to sign discs, who come to our youth summer camps and say, hey, like, what's Dan Ritthaler like? What's Dexter Clyburn like? And they know the players' names. They know their numbers. They know their stats. And that's new for semi-professional ultimate.
It feels good to win for a city that has lost so many teams, he says. And they're having a big free community celebration a week from today at Prescott Market.
The trophy will be there. The mayor's office is going to come out and give a proclamation. We're going to have a bunch of fans, a large handful of players who are going to be signing things. We'll have some, merch to sell. Got champions written across, some sweaters.
Megan Goldsby, KCBS.
Who's up for an afternoon of music, community, and fancy picnics? KCBS's Shannon Golden reports you should head to Golden Gate Park this coming Sunday.
It's San Francisco Opera's beloved Opera in the Park, which takes over Robin Williams Meadow for an alfresco concert.
Conducted by our music director, An Sun Kim, and we have this beautiful afternoon of music making beginning at 1:30 where you can just come and sit out under the skies for free and just soak in this beautiful lyrical music and some teasers from what you'll be seeing this season on the main stage.
But that's only half the show. After its wildly popular debut last year, General Director Matthew Schilvach says they're bringing back the picnic concert. Fest, encouraging folks to create lavish spreads on their patch of grass.
And we will have celebrity judges out there looking for the best picnics, the best picnic wear, the best food, the best drinks, the most fun themes that people might bring to it.
Winners get bragging rights and prizes. In San Francisco, Shannon Golden, KCBS.
In Contra Costa County, supervisors have adopted an anti-ICE cooperation policy. It says county resources cannot be used to help ICE officials with immigration enforcement unless ICE has a warrant. Many Bay Area counties and cities already have similar rules in place. 25 years since 9/11, the TSA is introducing Gateside by TSA PreCheck at 13 airports across the U.S. KCBS's Marky Schaefer reports the program allows non-travelers to get in past security.
The Gateside by TSA PreCheck is a program that allows non-ticketed people with TSA PreCheck to escort someone to the gate or to meet someone at the gate. This pilot program is at 13 airports in the U.S. It includes two airports in California, San Diego International and LAX. This is similar to San Francisco's Explorer program, but the new pilot requires TSA PreCheck. Retired SFO spokesman and aviation consultant Mike McCarron describes getting PreCheck as an easy process.
You fill out the paperwork. I think it's $85 for 7 years is the application. They do a background check, basically like an FBI background check on your name, date of birth, social security number, that type of stuff.
The TSA has indicated plans to expand the rollout of Gateside to additional locations in the coming months.
So I think in the long run, it'll help everyone out, and it shouldn't cause too much of a backlog.
And the extra people are likely to benefit post-security vendors as well. Margie Schaefer, KCBS.
Subscribe to the All Local wherever you get your podcasts. And stream us on your smart speaker 24/7 by saying, play KCBS Radio.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.